All right, so we start at the bottom of Lamed Hayam with Bet. So we have Amar Rav Yirmiyah. So Rav Yirmiyah gives a series of statements that the Gemara will clarify in a second, which is Amar Rav Yirmiyah. Pamim sheshneim bechatat, pamim sheshneim be'asham, pamim sheasocher bechatat veshuel be'asham, and pamim sheasocher be'asham veshuel bechatat. So Rav Yirmiyah is building on the Mishnah. Mishnah has a case where a person is socher, right? He rents the item, and then he lends it out to another party. He's mashil it to another party. So now, the Gemara is discussing when each of these individuals takes a shvuah, shvuat shomrim. Now, what is the repercussions for their lying with regards to the shvuat shomrim? There are two possibilities of what could happen when you lie with shvuat shomrim. One is that you simply lie, and there's no benefit to your lie. That you lie, but the fact that you took the Shvuat HaShomrim, whatever you did here, has no impact in terms of the financially to benefit you or to your detriment. In that case, all you've done is taken a Shvuat Sheker, what's called a Shvuat Bitui. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that through your Shvuah, you've actually benefited yourself monetarily. And if through your Shvuah you benefited yourself monetarily, then already you've brought yourself into a new Parsha, right? Which is the Parsha of someone who takes a Shvuah by denial of monetary claims, and a denial of owing money. In that case, you're going to be chayav and asham. So the difference here, you have a possibility if you have violate shvuat bitui, which is that you take a shvuah falsely, you'll be chayav a chatat. If you have a shvuah, which is sheker, with regards to monetary benefits, then you'll be chayav and asham. So Rabbi Yirmiyah is giving you permutations, in this case, between the socher and the shoel and the balim, that you could have all sorts of permutations. We could have both of them bringing chataot. You could have both of them bringing ashamot. And you could have one bring a chatat, one an asham, one an asham, one a chatat. So now the Gemara's going to go, okay, so how does this work? Firat mamon, asham. If there's denial of a monetary claim, denial of owing money, then you'll bring an asham. Bitui svatayim, if the problem is that you took a shvat sheker, simply shvat sheker with no monetary benefit, then you're chayav a chatat. Pamim, sheshneim bechatat. What's the case where they're both chayav a chatat? Kigum, shemeita kidarka. The animal died a natural death. Vamru nensa. That instead of saying that it died a natural death, they said that it was onus. Socher. When it comes to the socher, the renter, the ben kach o ben kach miftar patur. Whether or not he makes a claim of onus, or he makes a claim of meta machmat atzma, meaning that it wasn't, doesn't matter, he is patur in both of those instances. Since he's patur in both of the instances, when he takes the shvu'ah that it was nensah, there's no monetary benefit to him, and he's simply chayev v'chatat. Shoel, the ben kach u ben kach yuve mechayev, to the shoel it's irrelevant if it was ones or if it died naturally, because in both of those instances he's actually chayav. It won't help him in any way. So again, he is b'chatat. So in this case, they are both in chatat, even though they changed the information. The changing of the information had no monetary benefit to either of them. The socher remains patur from the truth to what they took the shvuah about, and the shvuah remains chayav from the what happened to the what they say versus what was the truth. Now, pamim shishneim v'asham. There's an instance where both of them will be chayav and ashamot. When's that? Gagon shenignivah, if it was stolen. Vamru meita machmat melacha, and instead they said it died while it was working. Now, it's the underlying assumption here, and Tosfos points it out. It seems to be the psak halacha. There's a machlokus in the Gemara. Well, what's the status of a socher? Is this a socher kishomer chinam, or is it a socher kishomer sachar? In general, throughout the Gemara, and it's Tosfos points out, and here's another instance of it, the Gemara seems to flow with the opinion that he's like a shomer sachar. And the evidence over here is a case of nigneva. Over here, by gneva, a socher would have been chayav. And that's only if you classify him as a shomer sachar. So now, you have a case here. They both are making a monetary denial. They both really would be chayav. And they are now being poter themselves. They're freeing themselves of a monetary obligation. Why? Because for the socher, if it was nignav, he's chayav. Now he says, that is, quote unquote, type of ones. That type of onus a socher is patur from. If he's but now he took a shvuah to take himself in the category of chayav to patur, that will require him to bring an asham. Same thing with the shoel. The shoel is chayav in everything, including onsin. The one exception for a shoel is meita machmat malacha. Why? Because otherwise, why did he borrow the animal? meaning that the shoel has a right to use the animal, because otherwise, what's the purpose of borrowing the animal if you can't use it?
We said that the shoel sefer, I mean, there's some areas concerning the shoel sefer that it's not in the category of there's not much halacha.
Right. He's not shalech, considered shalech. Yeah, again, the same reason.
In other words, he's so fair. That's the reason that he's being so fair. Right. So obviously, that has to be an exception.
Right.
Because it means in other areas.
But with the Kinevim Aveda is really the main focus of what is like a Shomer Sechar. Right, with the Shoel, the Shoel is Chayav for everything. And the only exception, again, is Meitam Achmat Malachav, because otherwise, why did he borrow the animal? I mean, if you can't use it, then there's no purpose to borrowing it. Then you become simply a Shomer and not a Shoel. The fact that he's patur. So now he would have been chayav had it been geneva. Instead, it's meitam achmat, he's patur. So that shvuah freed him of a monetary obligation. They're both chayav ashamot. Now, case where socher v'chatat v'shoel b'asham. What's that case? Kugom. Shemeita kidarka. It died a natural death. V'amru meitam achmat malacha. And instead they said it died while they were working with it. So for the socher, ben kach u'ben kach miftar patur. For the socher, he's patur in both cases. One is in a case of ones. It died naturally. The other case is Meitam Achmat Malacha, which is also patur from. So since there is no monetary benefit in changing the story for him, he'll be simply Chayav HaChatat. The Zocher is Chayav HaChatat. On the other hand, Chayav HaChatat, Shoel, Demechayev Meitam Kedarka. Shoel is Chayav Be'onsin, and therefore if the animal dies, he would have been Chayav, and instead he's Kapatar Nafshe Be'Meitam Achmat Malacha, and instead he took a Shvu'ah that it died while it was working, then Basham. Skyev and Hashem, because he benefited monetarily from the changing of the story, taking a shvuah to that effect. Now, what's the case with socher b'Hashem b'shoel b'chatat? What's that case? Kagon shenikneva, it was stolen, v'amru meita kedarka. And instead, they say that it died naturally. Socher dehu mechayev b'gneva. When it comes to socher, he is chayav b'gneva. V'aveda, like a shomer sachar. V'kap patar nafshe b'meita kedarka. Now he's being poter himself by saying Meita Kedarka, because that changes into an onus. He's changing from Gneva to Aveda to onus. So he's changing from a status of Chayav to Patur. So his Shvu'ah benefited him monetarily. Basham, Skai ben Hashem. Shoel, the Ben Kach, Ben Kach, Yuvay Mechayev. But Shoel, it's irrelevant. Whether it's Gneva or onus, he's Chayav in both those instances. His Shvu'ah did nothing to benefit him monetarily, and therefore he's only Chayav Bechadat. Right, so those are the permutations, the four different permutations you could have of Hashem and Chatat. So that's Rabbi Yirmiyah lays this out. The Gemara asks, Maika Mashmalan. Okay, this is not, right, this isn't rocket science. It's a basic principle in Chatat and in Hashem. And so why should Rabbi Yirmiyah have to lay out this whole scenario over here? It says, Lafuke mid Rabbi Hami. The position of Rabbi Yirmiyah has come to exclude Rabbi Hami's position. Damar. Kol shvu'asha dayanim mashvim oto, ein chayvim alay mishum shvu'at bitui. That the chiyuv of shvu'at bitui, taking a shvu'ah, or false shvu'ah, that obligation, according to Rabbi Ami, is only when you take it voluntarily. If a shvu'ah is imposed upon you by Beis Din, you are not chayav for shvu'at bitui. Why is that? Shenemar, o nefesh ki tishavad vatei bisvatayim. So what does it mean, kitishavad vatei bisvatayim? Is kitish ba miyatzma, when he takes the shvu'ah himself, meaning that he has to take it voluntarily, of his own volition. If the shvuah is imposed upon him, Rabbi Ami believes he's excluded from the parasha shvuat bitui. So according to Rabbi Ami, if this person lies under oath, then he will not be chayav chatat, right, for lying, simply lying with no, again, monetary benefit. Over here, he won't be chayav chatat because he won't be chayav for shvuat bitui. So now Rabbi Ami comes along and says, no, that's not the case. And even when you take such a shvuah in Beis Din, and it's lying, it's shvuat bitui, you lied and got no monetary benefit, you're still chayav chatat. So that's Kamash Malan, the local Rabbi Ami. That the local is not like Rabbi Ami. Tosfos points out that it also brought a Shmuel has an opinion in Shvuot that you can only be Chayav Shvuat Bitui if you could take the same Shvuah both in past tense, present and future tense. So the problem here is that the Shomrim can't take the Shvuah in future tense, meaning that he can't say that in the future it will be stolen. That type of Shvuah doesn't exist. The Shvuah to Bitui, the way the Torah formulated it, Marin Shavuot, is because the person is taking a Shvuah can be Lahara or Leitiv, right? Meaning that he could do something that is positive or negative for himself in the future. Which means that he can say, I will not eat or I will eat. That Shvuah is in the Atid. And then the Gemara learns in Shvuot that you can also do it lavar. You can also do it on the past tense, that I did eat or I did not eat. But the core of what's found in the Torah is laharad oitiv, which is in the future tense. So Shmuel says if you cannot formulate a shvuah in the future tense, then it's not considered a shvuah bitui. So here, by these shvuot that they're taking, these shomrim here, they can never formulate them in the future tense because it's just not relevant. You can't take a shvuah that in the future it will be stolen. I mean, or in the future, right, it will die. I mean, I guess you could take that, but it won't help you in terms of your shmirah.
You know that one, it's true.
Right. But even though you can't, since you can't formulate the shvuah in a future tense, therefore there's no shvuah to bitui here according to Shmuel. So same thing here, Rabbi Yirmiyah would come to exclude from Shmuel as well, because he's saying that even in the case of the shvuah here, of the shvuot of the shvumrim, even though they can't be formulated in a future tense, still you'll be chayav chatat for shvuah to bitui. Now, the Gemara moves to another issue, something that we saw before in Bava Kamma, which is itmar, shomer, shemasar the shomer. What happens if it is shomer that gives over to another shomer? Are you permitted to do such a thing? At you as a shomer, someone gives you something to watch or to take care of. Are you then allowed to pass that obligation or give that obligation to someone else? Right, and say, listen, I'm going away. Can you handle this situation because someone gave it to me and I want to pass it on to you? So Rav Amar Patur, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayav. Rav says Patur, Rabbi Yochanan says Chayav. So Amar Abai L'Tameh, the Rav Lo Mibayi Shomer Kminam Shomasa the Shomer Sachar. According to Rav who says you're patur, shomer shemasar the patur, the shomer is patur, is not only when a shomer chinam gives it to a shomer sachar, that he elevated the shmirah, that he actually made it better, the situation better. He was a shomer chinam, he elevated the shmirah to a person, now it's a shomer sachar, elafilu shomer sachar shemasar the shomer chinam. Even a shomer sachar that gives over the shomer chinam, the gruy gara the shmirato, that he degraded, I mean, he took down, he degraded the actual shmirah, patur. I guess he's not considered to be a pusheya and is giving of the item to another shomer. My taima. What's the reason? Da masro the bendat. Because he gave it over to someone who is competent. He gave it over to a competent shomer, and he wasn't pusheya. That's the basic problem here, right? For any shomer, we want to ensure what a shomer is chayav for is pshia in these instances. And we want to ensure that when he gives it over to another shomer, that's not classified as pshia. And therefore, according to Rav, as long as you hand it to a bendat, as long as you hand it to a person who can deal and properly watch the item, then you are not a pusheya. Now, Uda Tamei de Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, lo mi bayi shomer sakar shomasar de shomer chinam. Yochanan says that there's a problem. When you give it over to another shomer, you are chayab because you've done something wrong. He says that's not only when a shomer sachar degrades the shmirah, giving it to a shomer chinam, but even he elevated the shmirah. Chayab. Still in that instance, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you chayab. The basic line, ein ritzoni shepiktoni biyad acher. I don't want my item to be with someone else. I trust you. I don't trust this individual. I gave it to you. I didn't give it to this other individual. And therefore, when you gave it over to that person, it seems to be, the way you could formulate it is, right, that there are two possibilities. One possibility to formulate it is that I changed the instructions that I got for the person who gave it to me. The person gave me an item and said, watch it. And I violated his instructions by giving it to someone else. That's one possibility. Tosfos does not like this possibility. Tosfos rather says that there's an implicit tenai in the agreement between us. That implicit tenai is like this. It's as if I explicitly sent to you, im yishaneh midato. You change from what I told you, kugon, shim sirena lacher, shielu kilu pashaba. It's the equivalent of you being a pusheya. Right, so instead of not saying that he violated the word of the original mafkid, but rather he is now classified as a pusheya. Classified as a pusheya because it's as if we have an implicit agreement when you hand me the item that I will do nothing besides what you told me. If I do something else, then I'm now pusheya. I'm a pusheya. I'm a pusheya. I'm chayev. Now, v'chol onzin shiru la shnuchav litzlot shim lo masro lacher shlo yu nearim chayev ba. Right, so then, if you had not given it over, if there was an ones that would have happened only because you gave it over to this individual, you'd be chayav. The difference in the formulation will be what happens if there's an ones that happens that's irrespective of where it's located right now. It wouldn't have mattered whether it was with me or the new shomer. So the difference in what you say, the reason that the shomer here is chayav, will matter about the outcome. Why? If you say that the reason that you're chayav over here is because you changed from what the shomer instructed you, then it doesn't matter how afterwards something happens to the animal. It doesn't matter if it's an ones that would have happened anyway. All of that is irrelevant because you violated my agency. If you violated my agency, everything falls apart, and now you're chayav. On the other hand, if we say that the issue is that we have an implicit agreement together that when I give you the item, that if you give it to someone else, you become a pusheya, then you'll only be chayav if that pshia generates an onus or some other situation that causes the animal to die. But if not through your pshia, something happens to the animal, but it has nothing to do with the rehak because you gave it over to someone else, then you would be patur, because your pshia is not what caused the deficit or what caused the situation to deteriorate, even though it was given to someone else, and you're pshia, but the animal, the onus that happened would have happened with me or with you. I mean, for instance, if there is some sort of natural disaster comes and would have affected all of us, so in that instance, your pshia has no relevance to the fact that the animal was lost over here, so then you would not be chayav. It's a difference in how you formulate what the problem is of giving it over according to Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Amar Rav Chisda, Harav Labafei Rosh Tzmar. This statement of Rav, that Shomer Shmaser Shomer is Patur, was not explicitly said by Rav, El Mechlola. It was inferred from a case. Why? The Hanu Ginai, we had these gardeners or farmers. The Chol Yoma V'Mefakte Marayu Gabad Ha'i Savto. Every day they used to give over their hoe or spade to this woman, this older woman, and they used to leave it with her every day after they worked. Yom Echada Afkudino Legabe Chad Minayu. One day, they left it by one of their friends, I mean, one of the partners here who was working, one of the farmers that worked together. They said, you know what, why don't you take it home? So, on his way home, right, Shemakal Behi Lulut, he heard the music, right, his feet started to dance, he saw there was a party going on, and he didn't want to miss out on the party. So what does he do? Nafak. He ran out, Azal Afkadino, the Gaba, the Hai Safta. He says, you know what, I cannot hold on to this horse bait, I can't go to the party. So he goes and gives it to the woman who they usually left it by. Right? Ada Azalvaato. Okay, right, right.
Person, right.
Very good. So Ada Azalvaato. By the time he came back from the party, Iknov. Right, Marayu. The spade of the hoe was gone, stolen. So Adalika made the Rav. So all the farmers, the partners here came before Rav and said, you know, listen, this guy, we gave him the hoe, it's gone now. You know, we want, he's responsible, he's poshe. He gave it over to this woman, he didn't take care of it. Upatre. And Rav was poter them. Mandachaza, people are looking at the case, Savar Mishum Shomer Shemasu the Shomer Patur. They thought because Rav holds Shomer Shemasu the Shomer is Patur, Velohi, that's not the reason, like Shaul just stated, what's the real reason? Shani Altam, the Choyom Anami Inu Gufayu Gabad Aisata Mefaktilu. Right, I mean, that it's clear that they trusted this woman. Why? Because the whole claim for Shomer Shemasu the Shomer, that is, Chaya, according to Yochanan, is Shein Rutzini, Shei Piktoni, Biyadacher. That I don't want my picadon to be with this other person. But we see from these individuals that every day they left it with this woman. So they clearly trust this woman. So they can't make such a claim. Look, oh, when you gave it over to the woman, we don't trust her. They clearly did trust her because that's what they did every other day. So because of that, that's why Rav said they're patur. Not because Shomer is patur, but rather, Shomer could be chayaf. It's just that this case, the application of Shomer is just not relevant. So now, Yotiv Rabbi Ami v'kamar lo l'hai shmaito, he said over this, memra, Eitve Rabbi Abba bar Mama le Rabbi Ami. So they asked from our Mishnah, so that you were asking, Tzvi, Asocher para mechavero, v'shila l'acher, umeita kedarka. Yishava asocher, shemeita kedarka. The socher takes a shvu'ah to the balim, that it died natural death, right, and he's patur. But shu'el mishalim asocher. And the shu'el pays the socher, because meita, right, a natural death, kedarka, is not a patur for a shu'el. If the case is true that Shomer Shemasu the Shomer is Chayav, Leimalei Ein Rutzuni Shei Piktoni Biyadacher. Right, this is Tzvi. You're asking, what isn't that the case in the Mishnah? It's exactly the case in the Mishnah. This is the case of Shomer Shemasu the Shomer. Why is the Socher Patur? Socher should be Chayav. The Balim could say to the Socher, Ein Rutzuni Shei Piktoni Biyadacher. What I rented it to you, I did not give you permission to lend it out to this other party. Samalei ocha ma'eskina. The case is here. Bishnat lo habalim brishut lahashil. The balim gave him permission to lend it out. He said, "You can rent it. You can lend it out if you want." Mar says, "Iochi the balim vayelish lume." Right? If that's the case, then when the socher lends it out to another party, he's really acting as an agent for the balim. If he's acting as an agent for balim, when the shu'el pays, he should have to pay not to the socher, but rather all the way back to the balim themselves. Damalei datcho. Right, because he could say, I did it, right, he says, Damrulei the Datcha. So the answer is what? That when the Balim gave it to the Socher, they did not direct them that you could lend it out. Right. It's yours as a Socher, and you have a right on your own volition when you decide to lend it out to someone else. I'm not involved with it anymore when you lend it out. If that's the case, since the Abalim or Menatek. They removed themselves from the picture because they did not control when the She'ela went out or how the She'ela went, or they didn't have to get permission from them. Then at that point, the Balim are now removed from the picture. If they're removed from the picture, then the She'el is only responsible towards the Socher and not all the way back to the original Balim. So now, Meitei Rami Barchama, Mafkid Ma'ot Itzel Chaveiro. President gives over money for his friend to watch. Tzaran Bishvilana Chorav. He wrapped them up in a bag and then threw them over the back of his, you know, shoulder. He kept it in his backpack, right? Or Masran Livno Uvito Aktanim, gave it over to his children who were minors. V'nal Bifnehem Shloki Ra'oi. Or it's probably an O here, Shibti Girsa. Or the third case, which is he didn't lock them up properly, he didn't wash them properly. Chayav. In all of those cases, he's chayav because he's posheya. He did not wash them properly. Shelo Shamar Kederach HaShomrim. Right, that's basic. I mean, he didn't watch them like a person. Any person who gives over money to an individual has certain expectations. This person did not miss. The Shomer did not meet those expectations, and therefore he's Chayav. Taimo Diktani. All right, what's clear from this statement is that only because they're minors is there a failure here. Hag Dolim Patur. Had he given over to his children who were of age, then he would have been Patur. Now why am I? Why can't it be the case? Those are the case of Shomer, Shemasar, the Shomer. If a person gives you an item to watch, and then you hand it to your children who are of age, then you have now transferred the responsibility from yourself to another individual. That should be a case of Shomer, Shemasar, the Shomer. Why should you be Patur? So am I, Nemele, Ein Ritzoni, Shei Pikdoni, Biarachir. You can say that when I give it over to you, I don't expect you to give it over to another person, including your own children. So I'm a Rava says no. You have to qualify such a statement, because Rava says, any person who gives over an item to another individual, dat ishto ubanav hu mafkid. The underlying assumption is that this is a family operation. Right? That's not you're simply giving it to this individual to watch, but rather you're giving it to him and his whole family. That you expect that if he goes on a trip, that his wife's going to take care of it, or if he's going to need to do something or go to work, then he's going to leave it with his kids or of age. I mean, that's the general expectation to start with. So this is what, again, what Tosfos said before, that there is the failure in Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer is either because you violated the Dat Habalim, right, you violated their instructions, or because you're Poshea. In this case, based on Rabbi's statement, you've done neither, because either that is the Dat Habalim, that the original owners believe that that's what you're going to do with the item, or it's not classified. Implicit in the giving, original giving, is that this is not classified as Shia when you give it to your wife or to your children, because that's our expectation between us. Okay, Amrei Nerdai, Dekanami, you can even die also from this, Diktani, O Shemasran, Livno, Vito Aktanim, Chayav. They gave it over to his Beno, Vito Aktanim, is Chayav. Ha, Livno, Vito Akdolim, Patur, Michlau, Delachirim, Loshna Gdolim, Loshna Aktanim, Chayav. Right, so implicit in the conclusion of Rav is implicit in the diuk out of this statement. Why? Because the only people that you're permitted to, the only one would be your children who are of age, who are Gdolim. But if it were other people's children, meaning if it was other individuals, whether they're Ktanim or Gdolim, you would be Chayav because you would be classified as a Shomer, Shemasar the Shomer. Imkein, Litnei Ktanim Stama. Because if it had nothing to do with the fact that they're your children, then it should simply be written, why are you Chayav? Because you gave it to a Katan. Then I could have inferred from that, Ktanim Stama, Shemamina, I could have inferred from that any Gdolim would be Patur. The fact that it specifically says your minor children, then we can infer from that only your children who are of age are you patur for. But anybody else outside of that realm, you are chayav for, because that's not within the purview of what was given to a shomer. That's not what expectations that we have of such a shomer. Now, Amar Rava. Rava says, Hilchasa, shomer shemasar the shomer chayav. So now you have the explicit statement by Rava that the law is shomer shemasar the shomer chayav. Lo mi bai shomer sachar shemasar the shomer chinam degrui gara the shmirato. Even if he degrades the shmira, of course he'll be chayav there. Ella afilu shomer chinam shemasar the shomer sachar. Even if he elevates, right, increases or benefits the shmira, chayav. My time up. So now, Rova's difference over here, as opposed to what we saw before, was that the reason that was given before for shomer shemasar the shomer is in ritzonei she piktoni biyad acher. Rava says the halacha is shomer shemasar the shomer is chayav, but for a different reason. What's the reason? He says, "My time of damer le at mehemet li b'shua, heich lo mehemet li b'shua." It's nothing to do with ein ritzoni she'poktini b'yad acher, but the problem has to do with the relationship between the ba'alim and the individual who is now responsible for the item. Part of the relationship between the ba'alim and the individual they give it to is there has to be a certain amount of trust, because in the end, if something goes wrong, the ba'alim now will have to accept a shvua from whoever they've given it to. So when the Balim establish such a relationship with this individual, they say, listen, I believe you. When you come to take a Shua to be poter yourself, I accept that Shua and I believe you. problem is now once you head into a third party, the Balim, there's a, right, there's some sort of separation between the Balim and the new party who has the item, and the new party is the one who's going to be taking the Shavuah. This new party takes the Shavuah, the Balim say, I have no relationship with them. Who says that I want to hear their Shavuah? I don't have to believe their Shavuah. I never entrusted an item to them. I never trusted them with the ability to give me a Shavuah and be Patur. So that's the issue, according to Rav. The Rav is not as Ein Ratzini Sheyei Pekdani B'Yadacher, but rather that the issue is the Shavuah itself, that I don't have to accept the Shavuah. That's where it says, Itzmar. This posheya with the animal, and it went out to the agam, it went out to the swamp, and it died a natural death. Abaye mishmei the rabba amar chayav. Abaye says, you're chayav in that instance, you as a shomer, you're a posheya, you're chayav. Rabba mishmei the rabba amar patur. He says, you're not responsible in that case. Abaye mishmei the rabba amar chayav. Says you chayav kol daino delo dain ki hay dina. Anybody who does not paskin this way, lav dayanohu. He's not classified as a dayan. I mean, that's strong lashon. Lo mi baye, not even just the one nabar tikkata shiav sofu bonis chayav. My statement is not just according to the one who says tikkata b'shiyah. If something happened in the beginning, it was koshay, and the end, you die bonis, that you're chayav. But elo afilu mandamar patur. Even according to the one who says that tikkata b'shiyah sofu bonis is patur, hocha chayav. In our case here, it's chayav. Why? My time out, Amrina, Havla the Agma Katla. There was something wrong here. There was something that caused the death over here of the animal. This is not simple onus. Yeah, it died a natural death. But it died a natural death in conditions that were not so natural. In conditions that were not the same as when it was in your house. Now it's out in the Agam. Those are the conditions themselves are what caused the death. And therefore you can't make this claim that you're really an onus. That it was made a natural death. I'm an onus. There really isn't an onus here. It's really... what Avi is basically saying is that there really isn't onus here, or at least we can make a claim that there's not onus here, because of the fact that it was in the agam, that could have caused its death. And that shia, your shia over here, that allowed it to go into the agam, is what now what's caused the animal to die.
Rob? Would you say the same thing, we call it proximate cause, would you say the same thing, there's no causation at all connected to it? You're a poshea, right. But it happened, not in agam, it happened on regular land, and he died.
Right, so it seems like not, that would not be the case. If there is no proximate cause, that even maybe Abaye would agree over here that you're not chayab. And that's what Abaye is saying. Abaye is saying that the pshia is what led to the further onus.
Right, it's connected.
Right, there is, right. So that's it. Rabba mishmei the rabba. Right, Rabba says the name of Rabba, Omar Patur. Kol daino delo dain ki haidina lav dayanu. So now you're stuck. You're stuck. One of the which way? One of the way or the other? You're gonna be stuck. Any dayan that doesn't pass like means not a dayan. Lo mi baye the man damer tikkat b'shios of benis patur. Right? Obviously, according to one, it says tikkat b'shios of benis patur. But I love filo man damer chayav hocha patur. Even according to one, it says tikkat b'shios of benis chayav. Here he says patur. My time up. Damrina malachamovit malihocha malihotam. When it comes to dying naturally, it should be irrelevant. When the malachamovit decides it's time to come. Should be irrelevant where you're located. Location should not be relevant. So now, Mode Abaye, Abaye agrees, and this is what you were asking. Mode Abaye, the Hadra the Beimaro, the animal returns to the original, right, location, the original Shomer's house, Umeita, and then dies there, the Patur. Then he's going to be Patur, my Daima, the Hadra. We see that he returned, that the air, the quality in the Agam is what killed him because he wouldn't have come back. If it was the air quality that killed him, he would never have made his way back. The fact that he makes his way back, and he's now back at the Shomer's house, and then now he dies. You're suggesting there's no proximate cause. The fact that he left the Shomer's house and now returns has nothing to do with the fact that it dies here. And he would agree to Rabba's position that Malihacha Malihatam because he died.
Don't we say with the Shomerim, we say if he was supposed to put in a specific place, and then he moved it to somewhere else, he was a Poshea, and then he took it back.
That's the only Shalech Bayat. Shalech Bayat, then to return it is not an issue. Over here, right, he was never Shalech Bayat, so back to show. He was a Poshea, but the Poshea has no proximate cause to the onus that's happening here. And that's
no, the but then the case is that he brings it back to the exact same place.
That's Shalech Bayat. Once you're Shalech Bayat, you change your status to a Ganav or a Gazlan. No, but Poshea, you don't become a Ganav or a Gazlan. That's not the case. Poshea makes you Chayav, but doesn't make you a Ganav or a Gazlan. If you're Shalech Bayat, once you're a Gazlan, then you cannot return it without Dat Balim, and that causes you a problem. Over here, it's not Shalech Bayat. Okay, Modi Robo. And Robo agrees. Kohecha, Igneva, Ganav, Vagam, Umeita, Gedarka, Big, alright, so you say, what happens here? It was out in the Agam, and it's stolen from the Agam, and then it dies naturally in the Ganav's house. So now he has, over there, you could say, what? Malihocha, Malihotam, Malachamovit. So there, Rub agrees to Abaye's position, says, no. Why? Because even if it didn't die, where would the animal be right now? If it didn't die, it would be in the house of the Ganav. Right, so, right. So, Irei Chayav. He says, the fact that it died by the Ganav's house is not to your benefit. The fact that it dies there, or it's alive there, either way, it's out of your
possession.
Your
hand was stolen.
Right, basically. Right, that there is proximate cause to the problem here, which is that the being in the Agam is what caused it to be stolen. And since that's what caused the stealing, later on, if it dies naturally, that has nothing to do with, right, that has nothing to do with the fact that, Malihotam has to do with the fact that, okay, now there was a Gneva, you really are responsible. And, oh, fine, it died naturally. You got lucky that it didn't die because of the Gneva. But that doesn't change the fact that your Pshia caused it to be Nignav. And your Chaya for Gneva. He says, that's it. Modi Rava Oichad Ignav Ganav Ba'agam Umeitok Kitarka Be'ganav Chaya Techayav My Taima Di Shabka Malachamovet Be'vete De Ganav Avel Kaima. Even if the Malachamovet didn't get to it, it would have been in the house of the Ganav. You would not have gotten it back. And as opposed to the case where it's just in the Agam, and it doesn't die in the Agam, you would be able to get the animal back. It would be in your possession. You'd be able to return it. But that's not true if it's in the house of the Ganav, because if it doesn't die, you don't have any way to get it back. You are responsible for it. So now, Amar Le Abaye the Rava. So Abaye says to Rava, L'didach, according to you, Damart, Malach HaMavet, Malihocha Malihatam, Hayde Otvei Rabbi Abba Ramam Ala Rabbi Ami. So that question that we saw on the previous Amud, right, that what's the problem, our Mishnah, how do you deal with our Mishnah that says that you have a Socher and a Shoel? Right? Vishani lay. And what was the answer that he gave him? Right? What did Rabbi Yami say was the answer? Vishnat no Balim Rishut Lahashil. That to be a case where the Balim gave permission to the Socher to lend it out.
At his own discretion.
Right, at his own discretion. Vilemile, why don't we just say that the case in the Mishnah is Malachamovit, Malihocha, Malihatam. What's the case? The case in the Mishnah is that it's Meita Kidarka. It died a natural death. And we say that the Socher takes a Shvu'ah to the Balim that he is Patur because it's Ones. And the Shoel is Chayav to the Socher. But why don't we say over there, according to the way Rova's learning, it's Malihocha, Malihotam, right? What's to make a difference? Why do I need this answer? That he's not a Pusheya in giving the animal to the Shoel because he was pursued, he had permission to do it. Why don't we say the reason that he's not a Pusheya is because Malihocha, Malihotam. The Shia of giving it over to the Shoel was not what caused the death. What caused the death was that the Malachamavit showed up. Why is it mad if it's here or there? So Amalei, he says, L'didchu, so he says, I don't have this problem. Why? Because Rabbah is the Shitato. He says, Abaye, you have the problem, or the problem in the Mishnah arises because L'didchu d'matnitu ein ritzoni she'ed b'ktoni b'yad acher. So because the reasoning, in according to you, is the problem in the Mishnah is that, or the problem with Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer, is ein ritzoni she'ed b'ktoni b'yad acher. So how do I explain our Mishnah? Ika lo'otva. Right? So he says, Bahai, then you can ask such a question. Lididi, according to me, Rava the Shitati, Daminan Anat Mehemet Li Bishwa, Bahayach Lo Mehemet Li Bishwa. Right? According to me, that the issue about Shomer Shemasa Shomer is about belief or believability with the Shvua. Leka the Otva Klal. There's no question from our Mishnah. Why not? Let's listen to, I'll read you the Mishnah, you'll tell me why there's no problem. A Socher Para Mechabero, Vish Ila Lacher, Umeta Kedarka. Ishava ha-socher shemeita kedarka. What is the socher saying? Socher is taking a shvu'ah, that he was present, and it died kedarka. What's the problem? The problem with Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer is that I don't believe the other guy that it was meita kedarka. Over here, what's happening in the Mishnah?
Right.
The socher himself is taking the shvu'ah that's meita kedarka. According to me, Rabbi says, I don't have a problem here, because the reason that he's patur over here is because the socher himself is the one who's taking the shvu'ah that it's meita kedarka. The Balim have no claim anymore. They can't say, well, I don't believe the Shoel. It's not the Shoel who's taking the Shoah that was made to Kedarka. It's the Socher himself. So then he doesn't have the claim about Atom Hemetli, because he's actually getting his Shoah from the Socher.
Right, so we kind of discussed this a little bit yesterday, that it has to be a case where the Socher is able to take a Shoah that he personally observed.
Of course, yeah, of course.
If not, then we would have a problem.
Right, it can't be hearsay that he heard from the Shoel, and he believes the Shoel, and therefore the Socher is taking it. It has to be that the Socher was present when it died, and because he was present when it died, therefore he can take such a shvu'ah. According to me, Rabbi says, now the Shomer Shemachal the Shomer is not right a problem. Now you ask the Bar, a nafkamina between the two ta'amim, here's a nafkamina between the ta'amim. Right? He says, I don't have this issue at all. So that's why they didn't have to answer a case, they didn't have to answer this issue of Malchamavis, Malihachim, Malihachim, because the question never arose, l'shitati. There was no question at all here, because I don't have a problem. This issue of Shomer Shemachal Shomer doesn't arise in this mission, according to me. Right, so, Meitiv Rami Barchama. Hila the Rosh Tzukim. Rosh Tzukim. He takes the animal up to the heights of the mountains, right, to the peaks of the mountains. Finafla, and then it falls. Ein, right? So ein ze ones v'chayav. That's not an ones, and you're chayav. What are you doing with the animal up at the peaks of the mountains in these steep areas? The fact that it fell is because it was up in the heights. The fact that you took it there, that's problematic. Ha meita kedarka are ze ones patur. If it died a natural death at the peaks of the at the peak of the mountain, then it would be patur v'amai. Why don't we say like Abaye says by the Agam, lemele avir dahar katla, that the air up at that height caused the death. Rashi says the cold, right, that the air is much colder. You could say the air is thinner. Whatever it is, that the air quality is different at the heights of the mountain, and that's what caused the death. So according to Abaye, this should be a case of exactly what we just mentioned before, a case where you have a shomer who does his posheya, and then there's an ones afterwards. But the ones that happens afterwards is not really an ones, because there is some causation. Right, came, the pshia itself has some sort of a contribution towards the ones that happens afterwards. So inami, he says, you could say uktzana dahar katla, or right, the steepness or the exertion that the animal had to make to move up to this higher level or to go up this steep area is what caused the death of the animal. So again, you have two onsen, the two things that caused, or two possibilities of what caused the death of this animal have to do, are related to the pshia, which is that you brought it up to this area. Had you not brought it to this area, you can't say mali hacha, mali hatum to malach hamavet, because there is a difference. Had it been at home, it wouldn't have died, because it either wouldn't have exerted itself, or it wouldn't have had this air quality issue, and it wouldn't have died. Hacha ma'eskina, so it says, you know, so hacha ma'eskina, so this is for a bayis problem. So hacha ma'eskina, she'eldah lemir et. So that's why he took it up to graze up there. Shamein betov. There's a good, really excellent grazing grounds up there, all the way up the top there. So it says, ihafi, if that's the cave, naflanami, right? So what about, why, when it falls, are you chayav? I mean, if the reason that you're patur is because now it's classified as an ones, then why, even if you took it up there and it falls, why should you be chayav? You were not pusheya in bringing it up there. You brought it up to feed or graze up there, and that would be a natural assumption that you would do such a thing because there's such good grazing ground up there. So why by nafla, Mar says, you should have held on to it. You should have kept it secure, and you didn't do that. You should have somehow, you realized that it was hard for the animal. Now, truthfully, you are permitted to bring the animal up here because this would be within the expectations of the Balim, because there's great grazing ground up there. On the other hand, what is also in the expectations is that if you do take the animal to this location, that you will aid the animal. I mean, that you won't just simply let the animal run up and down because it's incapable of doing such. So, if that's the case, same ratio. What are you going to do with the first half of this? Alto the Roshei Tzukim, it went up to the heights, right, of the mountains, v'nafla, and it fell. Meaning that it went up by itself. Not that you, the same case is where you took it up there, that's the Pshia. In this case, it's where it went by itself, and then it falls. How is it ones? So why is that an ones? You should have held on to it. Meaning, fine that it went up by itself. Right now, that was your ones, the fact that it ran away and it went up there. But on the other hand, once it's up there and you have to deal with it, you've got to make sure that it comes down safely.
Or it means that you should prevent it from going up there.
Okay, or the other way, they should prevent it. Okay, either way. So Mar says, Latzriya, Tzricha shetakafato v'alta takafato v'yarda. I mean, the animal was a little wily. And it didn't want to, it was not in control. He tried to bring it up carefully and it went up by itself. And he tried to bring it down and it ran away, meaning that the animal wasn't allowing the Roya to help it. So that's what the onus is. The onus here is that he did do. He did everything that was expected of him. He was going to help the animal. He was going to help it up and down. The animal was not allowing him to help it. And the onus is that the animal was bucking away from him. It was trying to get away. And that's how it fell, because he wouldn't allow the Roya to help him. So that's how Abaye deals with the issue here. Abaye says, listen, this is not the case, like I said before, by the Agam. It's not the case of the Agam where his Pshia led him to a position where the onus, it's not exactly an onus anymore because there's contributing factors from the place where he is right now. So that's not true of the harim here, not the steepness or the air quality, because in this instance, there was a reason to believe that he would take it up there and the balim would have acquiesced, which is that there's good grazing. Now, what is his pshia? His pshia is that he didn't aid or abet the animal in order to get down or get up. So in that case, he'll become a posheya because he didn't take care of the animal. If he doesn't take care of the animal, he'll be chayav. Now, in the instance where he tries to take care of the animal, and the animal does not allow him to take care of it, meaning that he personally didn't take the animal up, the animal's running up there, and he's trying to either stop it, or help it up, or help it down, and the animal's trying to get away from him.
Right.
In that case, you...
Right. The animal was stronger than him.
Exactly. That he bucked the trend, he moved away from him, he wouldn't allow him to help him. That's the case. Right? You can't... You can't hold him accountable. That's truly an onis. He did what he could, and he's now an onis. Just as a psak halacha, Tosfos says that the halacha here is like Rava. The halacha is like Rava, not like Abaye, even though the Rabbeinu Chananel path is posik like Abaye. Rabbeinu Chananel says the halacha is like Abaye here because the Gemara follows, the Gemara clearly is following Abaye's position all the way along. Abaye asks a question to Rava. Then the Gemara brings a case that's a problem for Abaye, and then the Gemara solves the problem for Abaye. So it seems like the Gemara is flowing with Abaye, and therefore the halacha should be Abaye like Abaye.
It's the
Yalka Gums. So they have to deal with why is it, is this maybe one of the Yalka Gums? Meaning that there is, Kivegra sends you to Tosus in Kedushin, there's a machlokus in the Gemara in Kedushin, there's a Tosus there who disagrees with Rashi about what is the Alka Gum. What are the Alka Gums that are included in the Psak like Abaye? So it's not so clear that this isn't one of the cases of Yalka Gum, and that you have to determine, right, the Allah is only like Abaye, but Yalka Gum, but is, what is Yalka Gum? And that's what you have to determine. Alright, so now here, Amar Rabbi Yossi, the case of Allah Sephara, Paratosha Chavira. So Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Allah Rabbi Yossi. The Allah is like Rabbi Yossi. I think that resonates with everyone, that how can this guy be making money off of his friend's right, his friend's animal over here? So Amalei Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Rav Yehuda, Amart, he says, so Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda says Rav Yehuda, Amart lan mishmei de Shmuel, we heard your name from Shmuel, Choluk haya Rav Yossi, af barishonat. Rav Yossi also disagreed with the first Mishnah in our parak. What does that mean, the first Mishnah in our parak? What's the case of the first Mishnah in our parak? It's a case where Shomer now is responsible for an item. It was stolen from him. Shomer Chinam has a choice. He can either take a shvuah or he can pay for it. If he pays for it, what happens then? If he pays for it, he gets kefel. So now you have an exact situation where I am making money on my friend's animal. I paid him what I was responsible for, and now all of a sudden I'm going to get paid kefel if they find the ganav. So the Shmuel said that Rabbi Yossi not only disagrees with the second Mishnah, but even with the first Mishnah, that even if you pay to get out of the claim as a Shomer Chinam, you're not entitled to the kefil, because then you're making money on someone else's property. So he says, halacha kamoto, ain't halacha kamoto. Is the halacha like him or not like him? Meaning that, okay, you made a statement that Rabbi Yossi disagrees, both in the first Mishnah and the second Mishnah, and we have a statement that halacha is like Rabbi Yossi in the second Mishnah. And when you say halacha like Rabbi Yossi, does that mean it's also like him in the first Mishnah or not? So he says, Amalei Chalukaya Rabbi Yossi after Rishona, Alacha Kumoto after Rishona. That Rabbi Yossi disagreed even by the first Mishnah, and Allah has liked him by the first Mishnah. Itmar Nami, we have a similar statement, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Chalukaya Rabbi Yossi after Rishona. That even the first case, the first Mishnah, Aparak, who's also Chulek, Alacha Kumoto after Rishona. Well, we have the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Modehaya Rabbi Yossi Rishona, Shkvar Shilein. It's a big difference between the case, right. Right, the cases are not exactly the same. In the case of the socher and the shoel, the socher is paying absolutely nothing to the balim, and then he's getting paid from the shoel. He's making money while the balim are out money. On the other hand, in the case, the first case of the first Mishnah, the balim have been compensated fully. They've gotten the money that they deserve for the animal. He basically purchased the animal from the balim. The balim are whole. He now took on the risk of finding the ganav, which he didn't have to. Now the fact that he took on the risk that of taking the ganav, then he gets the kefil. He owns the animal now. To truth be, it's not really that he took on the risk, because even if it was a poshea, he paid for it, he gets the kefil. But the fact that he compensated the balim are made whole, now the animal, all the benefits really belong to him, because the balim are whole. And this
well,
is
they even learn that even if he hasn't paid yet, if he just stated his intention to pay.
So Rabbi Yochanan Mar Modei Rabbi Yossi Brishnash Kvar Shilem. Shilem in, lo shilem lo. So, your question, Shoel, which is, that it sounds like Rabbi Yochanan's statement that Rabbi Yossi would only disagree or agree with this first Mishnah if he had paid already because of the Balim are made whole. V'amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's one who says Lo Shilem Shilem Mamash Elokei Shemar Reini Mishalem Afu Pi Shelo Shilem. As long as you are indicated you're going to pay, then you're entitled to the benefit. So let us say Moda Rabbi Yossi Rishonash Bar Amar Reini Mishalem. That even in the first Mishnah he agrees because he says Reini Mishalem that I'm willing to pay. Now the willingness to pay is, again, I think the same for Rabbi Yossi here, is because you're not trying to leave the Balim, right, not whole. Your idea is to pay the Balim, they're going to be made whole, and the benefit that you get is because you've now compensated the Balim and you have no obligation towards them anymore. Whereas in the case of the Socher and the Shoel, it's an unbelievable situation where the Socher will actually be patur legamer, the Balim will not be made whole, and now the Socher ends up with more money, something that he doesn't even deserve. Meaning that, why should he have the money? The Balim's out an animal, the Socher is out a little bit of time of Schirut, but now he gets compensated as a full new animal and he keeps that. And that seems to be almost ridiculous that he should be able to make that money. There Rabbi Yossi disagrees. But in the case where you're going to compensate and make the Balim whole, there's no reason to believe that you shouldn't give cases. Right, so stop there.